Welcome back to the Voices of Women Summit, where in honor of International Women's Day 2025, we are raising the voices of hundreds of women so their messages can be heard. Your host for this session is Kimberly Crow. Kimberly is a visionary leader, a powerhouse speaker, and the founder of the Voices of Women Summit. She's dedicated to helping entrepreneurs and coaches take the stage, share their message, and make an impact. With her signature energy, passion, and a whole lot of fun, she's got another amazing guest coming right up. Take it away, Kimberly. Hey, folks, it's Kimberly Crow, and we're back. This time I have with us Lucinda Sykes, also on our Diamond Track. Very excited to have her here. She's going to be talking about a really important topic specifically for women. It is sleeping pills harm women, what your doctor may forget to tell you. Welcome to the program, Lucinda.
Great. It's so good to be here. And I have to emphasize that this presentation I'm going to offer is in celebration of International Women's Day, in part because the great majority of people who are taking sleeping pills are indeed women, especially women over 50. And I'm so thrilled to be here.
Well, I'm delighted that you're bringing this to everyone's attention. I think sleeping pills, by name, you would think that they would help you sleep. But there's a lot of more to them, I've learned after working with you a couple of times. And I'm excited that you're bringing this to us. So before we get into it, tell us your story. How did you become so passionate about this area?
I guess that's part of the story. I practiced medicine for many years in Toronto. And eventually, when COVID closed my clinic down, I was teaching mindfulness groups and you couldn't teach in that atmosphere. So I closed down, decided to retire, in fact. And now I've redirected myself to follow my passion, which is the well-being of women, you see, especially after 50 in the so-called postmenopausal era. Mm-hmm. I really like to work with them because there's so much potential there at that time, and society in a way ignores it or doesn't help us to cultivate it. So sleep is vital, of course, if you want to speak about cultivating your sleep. It comes from the sleep. So much of the refreshment happens while we're asleep. And so I'm so interested, and I've focused on the sleeping pills because it was only a few years ago that I discovered that there is a whole series of research papers telling us that people who take sleeping pills are more prone to Alzheimer's disease. In fact, it's over double the risk that if you take sleeping pills, you're at more than double the risk of this pernicious illness. My own grandmother developed Alzheimer's disease far too young. She was only in her 60s. And I'm now remembering the sleeping pills that she took every night, Kimberly. And even more concerning to me is that I used to go to the drugstore and pick up grandma's pills. So I was involved in the whole dynamic. And so I'm in part offering this time in my life now that I've retired, just to kind of circle around and offer this.
Well, I'm really glad that you did. It's hard looking back after the fact and being like, Oh, I think that was it. They've done similar research, not to divert us, but they've done similar research on breast cancer. And they were saying, oh, it's the gene, it's the gene, it's the gene. And then some studies now are coming out saying it's the lifestyle. Like if your mother had it and your aunt had it, what was their lifestyle? And Like, let's look at that more so than the genes, because you might be adopting the same lifestyle because you're in that family. It's very interesting what's coming out now.
Absolutely. Well, that's sleeping problems in the same manner. Yes, your lifestyle it's not a disease. It's a manifestation of lifestyle in many cases. Indeed.
Can I ask you, since you're in the field, what are the most common sleeping pills that are prescribed to women and which ones are most widely used?
Well, there's two sorts of benzodiazepines that have sort of gone out of favor. And now what they call the Z drugs, which in actual fact stimulate the brain roughly in the same place that the benzodiazepines do. But the drug companies have come up with a new perspective. So the Z drugs are, Ambien is one. Maybe Lunesta, Imovane. Those are the sort of popular names. And then there's the technical names too. They're very popular, and they are sedatives. And a sedative is meant to slow your brain down. That's
fascinating. It's designed to slow your brain down. And you said in a previous interview that I did with you, it's not actually designed to help you sleep. Is that right?
Well, that's it. Because you see, when we're sleeping, Kimberly, our brain is not slowed down. Our brain is surprisingly active. At some points during the night, the brain is as metabolically active as it is during the day, during our waking hours. But of course, we're sleeping. We're not thinking about things. But nonetheless, the brain is active, doing such things as rebalancing our endocrine system, laying down our memories, helping to generate creative thought. And most especially important, the brain is cleaning itself. The brain doesn't have any lymph vessels. So scientists have wondered for decades, how does the brain clean itself? Now we've discovered that at night, while we're sleeping, the brain converts itself almost into a sewage system. Little vessels open up all through the brain. They call it the perivascular spaces. They open up, and then the brain more or less pumps cerebrospinal fluid through them every night to cleanse the brain. And much of what's being released is those waste proteins like alpha proteins and tau proteins that are connected to Alzheimer's disease. So it's not surprising. For a couple of decades, the research has shown that Alzheimer's disease is a side effect of sleeping pills. And now we have a glimpse of what the mechanism is.
Are women going to say, well, sleep, I need sleeping pills? Or do you think it's that doctors are just is it I'm asking for it, or is it they're overprescribing, or is it a combination of both?
I see all manner of relationships in the all sleeping right. dynamic, because the relationship with the physician is a relationship, or the whoever is prescribing the medication, and it can be all manner of reasons, shall we say, going on. The way you relate, often it's the trusted older doctor who's been such a friend those decades, in fact, and it's hard to believe that they would be prescribing to you pills that could harm you. But of course, these dear old folks, and I'm in that category now too, it's hard to stay abreast of all the research. I can sympathize. And so it's easier in a way to write a prescription. And there's even a scientific paper with just that title, Sometimes It's Easier to Write a Prescription, a series of interviews with family doctors discussing why they prescribe sleeping pills.
Now, go ahead.
Well, I don't want to just give a polemic. I really enjoy a conversation rather. It's my favorite topic, however. So you see, it's easy to get me going on this.
No, I'm happy to have you share. I know very little about this. I don't personally take sleeping pills. And I don't think anybody in my immediate family does that I'm aware of. You mentioned that this is very prevalent among women, especially women over 50. And my imagination can run wild with that. Like, I got the kids and the bear and the dog and the spouse and the job and the everything. And I just need to get some sleep. So
sometimes they're recovering from childhood abuse. That's what the research suggests, that there in midlife, we have somehow a resurgence of the childhood trauma and our sleep is affected. And there's several papers with the same understanding. Childhood trauma can manifest in midlife with sleep problems and then a subsequent physical decline unless we solve the sleep problems.
Wow. Manette actually has a couple of questions. Her first one is, what about melatonin?
Oh, yes, I'm often asked about melatonin. I'm going to say I'm on the fence about that. You know, sleep scientists will use melatonin on a long overseas flight to readjust their circadian rhythm when they get to the other side. I would offer that one doesn't want to become dependent on a chemical of any description. And further, the risk is if you're actually using a hormone that the body itself makes, then by goodness, what are you jigging with anyway? What are you stimulating? Because these hormones have more than one or two functions. They're not like on-off switches. They're part of a dynamism that involves even several layers or levels. And I would avoid, you know, sort of haphazardly adding hormones.
All right. Manette also says she's 73 and she's drastic for an older woman doctor who really understands all of this. But no one is taking new patients. She says, my husband and I are both dealing with the answers. Well, this comes with age, and I just don't believe a lot of it cannot be addressed. Interesting. That could be really, really difficult to struggle with. Thoughts on that?
Well, that's an enormous question. In fact, one could write a book or two in reply to this question.
Any recommendations for her in particular to start?
Supplication to your physicians, other physicians, specialty physicians. You'd like a family doctor, it sounds like. You go to the specialty physician and ask if they can suggest a family doctor who would take you in. And sometimes, out of favor to the specialty physician, the family doctor will invite you into their practice. Now, there's a...
Well, let me ask you this. If people are struggling and they're struggling with sleep, and they are about to go to the doctor, or maybe they're already taking sleeping pills, and now they're nervous about becoming dependent on them, wanting to reduce the use of them, what would you suggest instead? Do we just have to put ourselves to bed and tolerate it? Or is there something else that we can do? Is meditation good for it? Are there any holistic ideas? Is there routines at night that we can do instead to help us with our sleep patterns?
Well, there's an answer of yes to almost every question that you raised there. You see, it's a very complex topic, sleep. It involves our most detailed thoughts, our creativity, and it's also deeply in the body. It's oozing out of our cells. Sleep is a dynamism that we're in about a quarter of the day. And so one answer fits all doesn't work when you're talking about sleep.
Okay. But if we want to stop taking pills, is there a recommendation that you have that is better for sleep than sleeping pills? Because sleeping pills don't work.
Well, in a way, it's all of my work to reply to that. You see, you can be very mechanical in this and maybe tweak your sleep by, for example, just starting to follow a regular nighttime schedule and waking up at roughly the same time each morning, and don't linger in bed. Keep the bed only for sleeping, not a place to sort of hang out and loll about. You want to have a clear awakening to your day and go forth into the day, live with vigor if you can, so that by the end of the day, you've accumulated some sleep pressure and it is indeed time to sleep. Rather than worrying about how you didn't have sleep last night, that's just an old story now.
That's a good point. I have a friend who is all about, she's like phrasing things correctly for her. And if she loses her keys, then she'll say, I used to lose my keys all the time, but I'm not doing that anymore. She'll just be like, I've just decided that I'm not going to say, oh, I always lose my keys, blah, 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 and just perpetuate that. So if you've always had trouble sleeping, well, let's just write a new story about that. Let's set some.
I like that. Especially because, Kimberly, I'd say that the essential practice of falling to sleep is entering into your center, entering into yourself, sinking into yourself, and then the body takes you over. And we can practice that even just in the manner which we're spending this last hour or two of the day, beginning to center in, settling in.
I have to say, I'm glad that I don't struggle with this too much, but two of my favorite times are when I'm in bed and I know I'm just about to fall asleep and I can, it's so delicious. And you're like, I know I'm right on the verge. It's like being on the verge of orgasm. It's like right on the verge, right? And you're like, oh, I can feel it. I'm going to go to bed. And then you're off and you're asleep. It's one of my favorite times.
Oh,
and
the
same thing with waking up, right? Is when you're just, you know, you're about to wake up, but you're still in the dream. It's so delicious.
Yes. This is inherent, I would say. Yeah, the bliss of being alive. sinking down into refreshing yourself and arising for who knows what will happen next. Yeah.
Yes. I love it.
Yes.
Manette says, when I was back in college about the, I thought about when I went back to college at age 60, the 20 somethings were always saying, I'm having a senior moment when they forgot something. Is that related to Alzheimer's? Is that something that's like losing those memories, losing those words, losing that, like just losing things? Is that part of what the putting your brain to sleep or putting your brain, slowing your brain down? Is that what it's doing?
If you had such concerns and you happen to be taking sleeping pills, my best advice would be to stop the chemicals.
Good advice. I like that.
Yes. Yes, if that's the case. Yes.
Okay. Well, one of my favorite ways to help myself, because I travel full time and in different rooms, different beds, different scenarios, different noises outside, different lighting situations, different locations of the bathroom for the middle of the night, all kinds of different things for me on a regular basis. I found sleep hypnosis I'm in love with him. His name is Michael Seeley, and he talks me to sleep almost every night, and it's just delightful.
Recommendation. Well, I like to pass these recommendations along, you see. So
Michael Seeley, like no relation, I don't think, but it's like Seeley Posturepedic Mattresses.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Michael Seeley is his name, and he's just got the best voice. I was like,
oh yes. Oh yes, I'm always looking for that especially important, the quality of the voice.
Yeah,
I hear
that absolutely.
Again and again, and they respect sleep and don't interrupt the flow of their talk. Yes.
All right. Well, you said what your doctor may forget to tell you.
Oh yes.
And so I want to be sure that we get that piece out, because that seems like a really compelling part of your talk.
Such a wonderful interviewer. Thank you. The essence is, people who take sleeping pills live shorter lives. Study after study points out a loss of life expectancy. And these can be big numbers, ladies. I don't want to shock you, but a recent study came out in just 3 years ago that has determined that the people who were sleeping were missing out about 5 years of life. So women, even more, 5.7 years. This was set in Taiwan, great researchers there. And they found that the large population, it was 500,000 people were surveyed in this. And this is what they discovered. They were both sets of people were sleeping the same amount of time. So it wasn't that, hey, I've got insomnia, I need to take sleeping pills. Both sets of people were sleeping 7 to 8 hours, but the ones who were taking sleeping pills were living, there was a higher death rate. Let's be blunt about that.
Wow.
And you see this again and again. That's so shocking in the research literature, study after study. And that's the most recent one that comes to mind.
And then one last question, because I want to be sure we get this part in, since it's International Women's Day and on the Voices of Women. How is it different for women than it is for men if the chemicals are the same?
Yes, great question. I love your questions. I wondered about that too. And the paper didn't go into detail. It just merely recorded the facts. The authors were, I noticed they were mathematicians, researchers, and they were just scanning the research with this question in mind. And they weren't really thinking clinically, in fact.
Interesting. All right. Well, we'll have to do some more digging. Maybe we'll have you back on 2026 and have you have that answer for us. Maybe we'll discover that.
I love to contribute this information. I think it's so valuable. It's getting overlooked. Every woman needs to make her own decision about these chemicals.
All right. I have one more question. I said one last question, but I actually have more.
Oh.
What role does Big Pharma play in this?
Question. Oh, we could do such a, well, then I start to sound like a firebrand, and we don't need that, you know, even a conspiracy theorist, I wouldn't want to go there, but there is evidence even in this regard. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes. We have known since 1979 that there was somehow an increased death rate amongst people taking sleeping pills. 1979. And in recent years, since about 2012, the research has really started to pick up. But still, the research to the public, it's still not being broadcast the way it should. We're talking about people's death, their mental health. It's a sleepiness, in fact, a sleepiness about sleeping pills.
Wow. All right. Well, we've covered a lot of territory here today. There's obviously a lot more.
So good to speak with
you. Yes, there's so much more that I want to dig into, but we're running a little behind. I hate to move to the gift, but you actually have a solution for us.
Oh, Lord. I'm all about solutions.
I love it.
It's self-cultivation, you see. The answer is self-cultivation. And part of self-cultivation is knowledge. And we can turn to the sleep science. Hundreds of researchers have devoted themselves to these questions. And we can make use of what they call sleep hygiene principles, basic principles of how to care for your sleep. They're not necessarily remedies. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking at a way to cultivate ourselves. So my Happy Sleep Secrets PDF will give you a list of, well, I call it 8 secrets for women over 50 to have their best sleep. But you see for yourself.
I love it. It says 7. You guys got a bonus one. So there's going to be 8 in there.
Yes. I'm thinking about the ending. I'm trying to come up with a poem or something at the ending of Happy Sleep Secrets. So it becomes 8. Something wonderful. So reassuring about the number 8.
I like that so much. All right. Well, it has just been a joy playing with you and learning from you today. Unfortunately, we are running out of time. I know that if people have questions, I would highly recommend grabbing her free gift, Happy Sleep Secrets, 7 Ways Women Can Sleep Best After 50. The link is in the chat. And of course, it's in our Facebook group as well. We would love for you to grab that and get on her list. I'm sure she has more to share with you after.
My email is there and I answer every message. So send me a message. I'll get back to you. I like to hear from people. Yes, it's a great pleasure. Really.
Awesome. So if you have questions and you need to move forward with answers, definitely connect, grab the gift, and then you can connect with Lucinda directly. I know from talking with her several times that she's just a delight and she uplifts everybody she speaks with. So
yeah,
I'm so glad
to be here in this summit. I really do respect what you've assembled here, this celebration of the spirit of women. Beautiful.
Thank you so much. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've got another speaker coming right up. But before we let you go, Lucinda, any final words for our crew?
Basically, sleeping pills do not help you to sleep. They sedate the brain. And in sedating the brain, we shut down a whole lot of the very positive functions of the brain that ordinarily happen as we sleep. Sleeping pills are not helping you to sleep. Is that clear? Yeah. That's what the science shows. They are sedatives. They are not ways to sleep.
That's where the problem is happening.
Yeah. People believe that somehow these are helping me to sleep. And it's a lie.
Wow. All right. Well, next up is Natasha Robinson. We're going to be talking about imposter syndrome, 3 steps to flip the script on your inner critic. Enough of her. She needs to stop talking for a little while. Lucinda,
Let me listen so much in to hear this. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you back at the bottom of the hour. I'm Kimberly Crow. Cheers. Wow. That was an amazing speaker. For replays of this talk and all the talks, plus an incredible gift bundle, upgrade to VIP now. If you have any questions or problems during the summit, you can always email our support team at support@voicesofwomensummit.com. Stay tuned. We have another fantastic speaker coming right up.